Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, how you doing, everybody? Welcome to the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Today our guest is Flora Regatta. She is the author of The Devotion of Where Your Heart Meets God, and also the Castle in the Sun series with Love's Sweetest Revenge and the soon-to-be-released Love and Obsession. Flora will be calling back in a minute. Things coming up on July 28th, because today is Monday the 18th. We'll be simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thursday Night Party. Our featured guest will be Big Jim Williams, he of Cattle Drive and Jake Silverhorn's Revenge. He has won.
Hello.
Okay, Flora, how you doing? Everybody, Flora Regatta, author of Where Your Heart Meets God, and also the Castle in the Sun series with Love's Sweetest Revenge, which is available right now in ebook and paperback, and also the soon-to-be-released Love and Obsession. Welcome to the show, Flora.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Pleasure. Tell us a little bit about the Castle in the Sun series, if you can. Give us an overview of Love's Sweetest Revenge and what you have going on in the series, and then a little bit about Love and Obsessions, please.
With Helping Hands Press, Following My Devotion, which Romantic Love's Sweetest Revenge, and it's the first in the Castle in the Sun series, the castle being the Castillo de San Marcos in St. Augustine, Florida, and that, along with rural New York, are primary locations for the story. The opening scene, the central character, Liz, detours from her usual walking route, venturing into the forest, but also on a collision course with danger, destiny, adventure, and even romance. Love and Obsession, the second book in the Castle in the Sun series, also opens in rural New York.
Okay. Are you still there? Seems like maybe we have a bad connection. We have our guest today is Flora Regatta. She is the author of Where Your Heart Meets God and Castle in the Castle in the Sun series. You're on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. The call's been dropped. Flora will come back in. What I was saying prior to that was that Big Jim Williams will be on with us on July 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Helping Hands Press Thursday Night Party. Big Jim has won different awards for Cattle Drive, which was his first novel. He picked up the best novel of the year from the Western Fictioneers, which is a very nice Western group. He'll be talking about both Cattle Drive and Jake Silverhorn's Revenge, which are both available in ebook and paperback on Amazon and other retailers. Also, Ann Baxter Campbell should be joining us on July 27th. Look on Facebook, Twitter, etc. for the time that day for that. Other folks that we're going to be having on here, we should be having another visit from Larry Peterson in August, Tony Hilling, a number of other authors we should have coming on. Should be very interesting. Let's see if we got Flora
hello,
back.
Hello.
Flora, are you back?
I'm back. I'm on my landline now, so the connection should be much more secure. Sorry about that. Was I talking to myself that entire time, or did you get any of that?
Probably for a little while. I've had that happen to me, so I totally understand. It's not a problem.
Okay.
You were starting to tell folks about the Castle in the Sun series.
Okay.
How many different novels do you feel may be in this series once it's completed?
Well, I have three so far, and I thought of writing a fourth, but that's still, you know, uncertain. I was going to maybe launch another series with the children of the central characters in the Castle in the Sun series, but again, that is still, you know, in the thought process.
Not a problem. So for those who don't know, the Castle in the Sun series so far, Love's Sweetest Revenge, Love's Sweetest Revenge, not Swedish, Sweetest Revenge, and Love and Obsession. is an inspired romance. It also has elements, it's historical, suspense, thriller. There's some whodunit. You have a wide variety of genres you're covering in this, but good writing is good writing. So you have found some very very thoughtful readers giving you some nice reviews on this.
Mm-hmm.
And well, tell us about the characters and the setting and stuff. I think that's where we kind of lost you.
Okay. Let me see. Well, Central New York State, you know, for its beauty, the pronounced seasons, and St. Augustine, Florida, for its Spanish culture, of course, the Castillo de San Marcos, and Mediterranean architecture. It's just a very beautiful place. The beach, of course. Who could mention Florida without, talking about the beach? The characters, the central character is 30-something Liz Bertelli. She was born to parents in their late 40s who never wanted children, and she grew up feeling like an intruder. Well, as a teenager, she looks for love in all the wrong places, gets pregnant at 14, and at 15 gives birth to twin sons. She and her boyfriend Steve marry, and Liz grows up fast. She's a terrific mom and a gifted artist. Unfortunately, the marriage is a disaster, and the couple divorces after nearly 20 years, and she has vowed to never trust another man. Her best friend, Rosa Ramirez, was born in Puerto Rico. She's Liz's neighbor, and the two were teen moms, supporting each other like sisters. Sporting a beautiful dimpled smile, Rose is a beautician and a great cook of Latin American food, and she introduces that spice to the story. She's an expert markswoman and would hunt deer with her husband to prepare venison. However, Rose's husband met an untimely death due to an undetected heart ailment. The story opens about a year after that, and Rosa still mourns his passing, believing she can never love again. But then, a dangerous bear encounter and clues found in a mysterious locket bring the friends to Florida, where they meet Latino brothers, Carlos and Jack Martin. Sparks fly between Liz and Carlos and Rose and Jack. Again, but can Liz trust another man, especially one like Carlos, known far and wide for his romantic exploits? And can Rosa let anyone else into her broken heart? Carlos Martin is an accomplished linguist who has worked for the president and flown aboard Air Force One. He's traveled the world, wining and dining glamorous and influential women in embassies and consulates. So why does he fall for Liz, a wholesome country girl from rural New York? And Jack Martin, Rose's love interest, rides into her life. He's on a gleaming Harley-Davidson motorcycle. The chemistry between them is immediate, and he's an Army hero. But can, Jack keep his haunting memories of serving in war-torn areas bottled up inside? And can he trust this dark part of his heart to Rosa? Now, Steve Cavanaugh is Liz's ex-husband, the father of her twin sons. At first, he's just a background character, as he's mentioned in passing, as Liz recalls his infidelity and cutting words. However, he gradually emerges from the wings as a serious antagonist, and he challenges the other with his immature and hostile behavior and the awful things he says. And sort of funny note is that my mild-mannered husband gave me much of the dialogue for this nasty character. Should I be worried?
Interesting. You're on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. We're with Flora Regatta. She is the author of A Devotional Where Your Heart Meets God, and we're talking about the Castle and the Sun series with Love's Sweetest Revenge and Love and Obsession. Well, when do you think Love and Obsession may be out? And what do you have going on there? Because it seems like you have a wedding and some fireworks with that.
Writing a book is a big process in the first draft. Rewrites, proofreads, edits, and hopefully I am on the final stages of the final edit, which is going through it with my computer, spelling, grammar check. It's stopping at every contraction. So I'm, let's say, 3/4 finished with that, and then I'll be sending it.
Nice. What do you have the characters embroiled in? For Love and Obsession.
Okay. Let me see. This series opens in rural New York. Liz and Carlos are engaged, and they're enjoying a Latin American Christmas feast with family and friends. The Bedenil is delicious, the snowfall, Christmas tree, and old farmhouse are Norman Rockwell perfect. But a disturbing phone call from Liz's ex-husband, Steve, warns of clouds on the horizon. He seems determined to drive a wedge between Liz and Carlos and disrupt their wedding plans. They're equally determined to marry, and they set out for St. Augustine, Florida, and the city's legendary love tree, where they have planned a romantic Valentine's Day ceremony. But as gusty winds, rustling palms, and pushing ocean waves warn of an impending hurricane, Steve's escalating behavior forecasts trouble. Will Liz and Carlos's love weather the onslaught?
Nice. Nice. Now, you mentioned St. Augustine, Florida. Do you have anything about the lighthouses there in the stories?
Yes, that is in the second story, in Love and Obsession. Liz and Carlos actually visit the lighthouse for the sunset moonrise event, you know, where they serve hors d'oeuvres and champagne. It's a very romantic thing. Unfortunately, I have never gotten to go because I don't think I could climb 215 steps.
They're beautiful lighthouses, though.
Yeah. Have you ever been in that one?
I did not go in, stood at the foot of it. My wife really likes lighthouses. I've seen a number of lighthouses on the East Coast. They have some really beautiful ones in Cape Cod that we've really enjoyed, especially on the tip of Provincetown, where a lot of the boats go for like whale watching and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful park there, and we've visited that a number of times and had some really nice times there. St. Augustine, I've not stayed in town, but gone through a couple of times specifically to see the lighthouses. It's something that my wife enjoys, and so I try to share that. I don't know what you call it. I don't know if you would call it a hobby or an interest, but I try to enjoy that with her. Yeah,
yeah, a passion.
Yeah, I think people that enjoy lighthouses and stuff like that, I think that would be an apt description. I think that would be. Because when you see lighthouses, a lighthouse, some people really enjoy not just the lighthouse, but what's around it and what purpose it serves for who. You know, it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you have that in there. So it seems like the novels in the Castle and the Sun series, you're part of it's contemporary, another part of it's historical, and you go back and forth. Is that difficult for you to do as an author, trying to go back and forth?
I guess there's a lot of research involved, you know, but these days you don't have to go to the library and, you know, dig through files. It's all at your fingertips on the internet, you know, and of course, you know, a lot of it is the history of St. Augustine, and it's just like 100 miles up the road from us, so we go there on occasion and enjoy the city and, you know, just drink it in its atmosphere and history. It's a very, very interesting place. Like I said, Mediterranean, kind of arabesque architecture, the beach, and a lot of museums, and, of course, the Castillo.
I was going to say, the architecture is decidedly different. I mean, when you pull into town, it's like you're stepping into another place in history.
Yeah, it was founded in the 1500s, I believe, and the castle, the Castillo, the construction started in the 1600s. So it's reportedly, you know, America's oldest city, continuously inhabited city, I believe.
If you drive there and then go right down to Daytona and go in there too, you'll see quite a, it'll be like a 180.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's talk about your devotional. Is there Where Your Heart Meets God's?
Mm-hmm.
Is there, since you're a multi-genre author, does any of what you've done with Where Your Heart Meets God's have anything to, is there any type of interplay at all with the Castle and the Sun series?
No, I don't think so. No. I first wrote Where Your Heart Meets God and the Castle in the Sun series. I began maybe a year after.
Okay.
No, the Where Your Heart Meets God explores the many expressions of God's voice and how, you know, we can recognize them.
How is it you go about constructing your devotionals? Do you have a certain rhythm to them?
Well, I think, you know, when they come by recognizing God, I think, in the ordinary and extraordinary moments of my life and others' lives. As with everything, I'll first do a draft and then review it. And, you know, they do have a structure to them, a scripture verse, of course, a title, the body of a devotion, and the pearl to ponder, like a question related to the devotion, and then a love nugget, something personal for the reader to contemplate.
Yeah, that sounds like a very good construct. What how long does it take you to do a devotional? I mean, is there a lot of reflection, especially with the personalization at the end?
Some are very quick, but most, I mean, I know Helping Hands Press has books about spiritual warfare, and I have, you know, when I wrote this book, it was a lot of struggle and spiritual warfare, you know, because I believe that, you know, as long as we keep God at a distance, you know, the enemy is relatively satisfied. But if we, the Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw nigh to you. You know, we try to draw near to God, you know, the enemy will give us all kinds of grief. And I was trying to encourage others to do that. And, of course, I got a lot of struggle during it.
Very nice. This is Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Our guest today is Flora Regatta. She is the author of Where Your Heart Meets God's and also the Castle on the Sun series, Love's Sweetest Revenge, is an ebook and paperback right now. She will be releasing Love and Obsessions in the near future. That'll be book two in the series. I really appreciate you being on today with us, Flora. What are you currently reading? Do you have anything interesting on the nightstand there?
Let me see. I am currently reading Foreign Body by Robin Cook. It's a medical thriller about elective surgery in India. And also I'm reading Grace by Max Lucado.
Wow. I've read Robin Cook in the past. I haven't read him in quite a while.
Uh-huh.
What's the new dilemma about elective surgery? People are dying?
People are mysteriously dying after having, you know, elective surgery in India. Americans are mysteriously dying. A young doctor goes over there because her grandmother was one of them.
Oh.
And she's trying to figure it all out.
Nice. I just finished Brad Thor's most recent thriller. I thought it was one of his best works. I enjoyed it immensely. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pick up something new to read this week, I guess. What do you see the state of, because you are a Christian author, how do you see the state of Christian fiction and nonfiction right now? Because you have your feet in both ponds. Do you see any trends that are bothersome, any trends that you think are good? What have you noticed out there?
Well, I think for a time, I mean, Christian fiction did not reflect real life because the characters always made the right decision. You know, they always did the right thing. And like I said, that is not real life. I mean, look at King David in the Bible. He was called a man after God's own heart, you know, and yet he committed adultery and murder. You know, I mean, hopefully we don't do anything that bad, but we all make mistakes all the time. And that is reflected, you know, in the Castle in the Sun series. I mean, Liz got pregnant at 14. I mean, that is a big mistake. When the series starts, she is not a Christian, you know, and she gradually, I guess, comes to faith through Carlos's influence and seeing, you know, God move in her life after she was rejected by her husband. You know, Carlos is a man who loves her and desires her and is faithful to her.
Very nice. I think that's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like watching some of the Hallmark movies at Christmas time.
Yeah,
I can only handle so much of that with my wife. I have to watch a little something different because they're just a little, you know, I think they're good, but a little unreal in a lot of respects. So I can respect that. I think that's a very good thing. Now, do you find that some authors are pushing the envelope a little too far? Having said that, with some of the stuff that's going on in Christian fiction nowadays?
I really haven't read any that I thought did, you know. However, you know, as I said, I think it was far too sweet in the past and very unrealistic and no reflection of real life at all.
Okay. Do you have any final thoughts for today? Is there anything that you would like to say to the listeners out there?
Oh, well, they could visit my blogspot, floraregatta.blogspot.com. And please read my books and, you know, take a adventure, a dream vacation in Florida and in the beautiful forest of upstate New York and enjoy some Latin American food and culture in the process.
Excellent. You could also read, if you go on Amazon and you do click on, you do go to Florida's Amazon page for Love's Sweetest Revenge or Where Your Heart Meets God's. You can click on the sample, get a read on her work, and get the flavor of it a bit. Or you can go on the Helping Hands Press blog, and there are sample chapters to read if you go through the archives. Or if you click on the down the sidebar, there are the covers of her books, and you can click right on there and read the samples if you're interested in taking a look at Flora's work. So I want to thank you today, Flora, for visiting us here at the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. I hope you have an excellent day. And I want to thank everybody for listening in and for being kind enough to try to find a new author to you or if you're a fan of Flora's, continuing to follow her. I appreciate it very much. Have a great day,
thank
Flora.
Thank you for having
Thanks
me on the show.
Total pleasure. Everybody, we'll be back on July 27th with Ann Baxter Campbell and on July 28th with Big Jim Williams as he headlines Helping Hands Press Thursday night Facebook and Twitter party. We'll be simulcasting that live. Have an excellent day. Thanks for listening in. Bye-bye, everybody.